is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good afternoon, or should I say good evening, everyone. You are listening to Beyond the Rock. I am your host, Dazzy, and guess what? We have a conversation tonight. So I would love for you to participate in tonight's show because this is not a monologue tonight. This is a conversation between you, between I, and the rest of the Bahamas. We have some things that we need to address. And so I like to do interval check-ins, you know, in between having guests that are talking about the amazing things that they're doing abroad. Sometimes I like to bring it home and let's talk about what's going on here. And more importantly, what we can do as a collective to make sure that things change and change for the better. Because at the end of the day, the only reason citizens will, and I shouldn't say the only reason, but one of the main reasons that a lot of our citizens that are leave the country and, you know, they're not interested in contributing anymore is because the happiness index, the well-being that they want to experience, they just don't feel that it's here. And so how do we make a nation feel like their highest and best, you know, expression of humanity is to live in the country of their origin? How do we do that? How do we achieve that? And so tonight is going to be a lot of questions. A very non-judgmental space. We're just going to ask some questions. We're going to approach this conversation from a place of neutrality, right? Because at the end of the day, we live here, we love the country, and we want to see it improve. So if you want to be a part of the conversation, feel free to call in at some point, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Please text me. I will always read your text. 422-4796, 422-4796. If you are a Bahamian listening outside of the boundary of the Bahamas and you don't remember the area code, let me give that to you, 242-422-4796. That's 242-422-4796. Now, to frame this conversation in the proper context, I'm going to play a clip in just a second that is going to give us some boundaries and some guidelines on how do we measure. So I'm a big fan of metrics. I'm a big fan of analytics because the only way to know if you're succeeding or not is by having measurable data. And if you don't have that, all else is speculation. All else is, you know, grandstanding. All else could be manipulation and all of the other context, right? That does not lend to productivity. And so that's what we're here to do today. So I just want to go ahead and play this clip right now. Stick and stay. I want you to listen to it. It's not very long. It's only about 2 minutes. And on the other side, we'll get back into the conversation.
Which countries have grown the fastest in recent years? People might name Singapore or Korea. But Poland or Morocco might not readily come to mind. This is because for many decades, we have thought of national growth in terms of GDP, which shows the total value of goods and services a country produces. But what it doesn't show are some of the things that matter most to its people. Things like working public services, clean air, accessible education, safety from violence and harassment, and speaking freely without fear of arrest. So how can these factors be measured? This is where the Sustainable Economic Development Assessment comes in. Using 10 dimensions, it measures not only a country's economic performance, but its social and environmental sustainability, as well as the outcome of its long-term investments. Rather than giving a simple ranking, SEDA shows where countries are doing well and where more work is needed. And using it alongside GDP reveals how effectively a country converts economic growth into improvements in overall well-being. So although GDP growth usually yields some quality of life improvements, a few impressive results without a great deal of resources. After announcing a focus on the safety and well-being of all citizens, Poland made some of the greatest strides in sustainability and governance through policies like funding for renewable resources and establishing a central anti-corruption bureau. Morocco's promotion of women's roles in politics and society, as well as equal rights in marriage and property upon divorce, led to greater gender equality, which correlates highly with overall progress. And the central program in Brazil's successful drive to cut poverty in half cost only 0.5% of their GDP. The lesson from these very different countries is that improving well-being doesn't require a lot of money, but it does require good leadership, clear goals, and policies specifically focused on making the country and the world a better place for its people.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that. I certainly did. So here's how we're going to frame this conversation tonight. And again, I want you to please go ahead and text in. I see some of your texts already coming in. Thank you so much. 224796. Here's how we're going to frame this conversation. We're going to look at each point and we're going to discuss how behemoths are affected. Can we do better in those areas? Can we improve? And please go ahead and text in your opinions on where we are with these matters, because at the end of the day, this is a neutral conversation. Another thing that I want to discuss very quickly before we get into that is I want this conversation to be free from us using comparisons of countries that are, quote unquote, doing worse than us in certain areas as a marker of our success. And the reason we're not going to do that tonight is because that is just a red herring. That does not lend to a conversation that seeks to improve. That lends to a mindset of, well, we're good enough, or we've done enough. And more than one thing can be true at the same time. We can both think that the country is on the right path or not on the right path, and we can also seek to improve. So if you have the opinions tonight that, you know, we're going to contrast ourselves to countries that are doing worse, I really don't want to hear your opinion. This is not a safe space for that, because at the end of the day, we have to continuously move forward. We evolve, and we're not going to evolve if we look at conversations in that manner. All right. So please do not text that. I'm not interested. I will not read those. Okay. Because it never fails. And I hate that I have to make these caveats, but you know, because of the polarity of social media and extremism of people and their thoughts these days, you know, we can all tend to get stuck in these loops and silos that do not lend to productivity, but we're not going to do that tonight. So I thank you in advance for your cooperation. Again, the text line is 242-422-4796. Please tell me where you're listening from. I love to do a roll call and find out where everybody is tuned in from, because at the end of the day, that helps me to understand our demographics, to know, you know, who's listening in from where and what your concerns may be. And when I need to hit up people for content, right, that kind of gives me an indicator of, you know, where the Bahamian hotspot is. Because I do look at the text numbers. I don't record them, obviously, but I can tell sometimes the region that they're in or if it's the same persons over and over. So let me read one or two texts. So this one says, just hailing from Exuma. Love your voice, long time. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for tuning in and thank you for listening and part of the conversation. I have another check in. Good night, Dazzy, listening all the way from London. Thank you so much. And this looks like a new number. I've not ever seen this one before. How many Bahamians in London? It seems to be a lot of y'all. Thank you so much for being tuned in and listening. So this one says, hi, listening from Miami. Thank you so much. This one here says, hi, listening from Maryland. Okay, where in Maryland exactly? Thank you so much. I appreciate the support. So yeah, please continue to send in your text, 242-422-4796. 242-422-4796. So let's get into one point. The first point. So education, right? Because we listened at the clip and it said, you know, looking at a country's growth and measuring it is more than just looking at the GDP. Now, I like to focus on GDP personally because I think that it's a great indicator, but obviously it does not do everything. And we have to look at all of the other factors, because you can have a country that's growing on paper, but when you go on, when you see the lives that the citizens are, and if they're content or they're not content, or if they feel like it's a country where, you know, it's viable for them to be in the long term, it can paint a bit of a different story, as well as the disparity between the haves and the have-nots can also lead to particular conversations. So the first one is education. I want you to go ahead and text in and let me know how you feel we as a nation are doing in terms of education. So for me personally, I believe that a lot of strides have been made. There have been some policies that have concerned me in the last few years that I felt have, you know, stopped our growth. One of them was the whole process of students graduating from government schools and needing certain things in place to graduate that students sometimes themselves would not have control over, such as parents attending, you know, parent-teacher conferences, things like that. And the reason why that was always a concern is because, you know, you have some households where children are pretty much left on their own. You know, they are making the effort to educate themselves. You know, they walk themselves to school in the morning. And the last thing you want to do is to fail or frustrate a young adult that is trying to do better by penalizing them for having negligent parents. And so that policy was always a bit of a concern. I understand what was behind it of trying to raise the standard. But again, we do not want to make the threshold and the barriers so prohibitive where you have sectors of the society, children that are deciding that they're not going to even try. And that's what we don't want to do, because at the end of the day, you know, having something in place that appears to be punitive is not going to increase the growth of a country. On the flip side, I do like the direction that the University of the Bahamas is going in and continues to go in. I think that is a fantastic thing. I do love to see the growth in that area. I do love to see the numerous scholarships around town from different private entities. You know, there's a lot of opportunities here. And when I had Kemi Jones on, the very first show that we had, he talked about, you know, various government scholarships as well, open to Bahamians that were undersubscribed for many, many years. So I think in terms of education, we are on the right path. I think we've made some good strides. However, as with everything else, it is what you make of it. So how do we increase the desire for the average Bahamian, especially the young adult or the child, to want to educate themselves, to want to learn more? And so having those conversations is very important, because one of the main things that you have to look at before we can look at education is Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And one of the reasons why I love to focus on that is because whenever we have conversations like this, they're depending on the framework that the speaker has, they're going to interpret what they think the modus operandi or the standard should be. So if they are from a place of privilege, they're not going to understand, you know, someone not having the desire to do something, or they're not going to understand why putting a policy in place that prevents a child from getting a high school diploma because a parent could not come to the parent-teacher conference, they're going to assign that to obligations by a parent, right? They're not going to see it from the perspective of some are not in place, they're not available, or they may not even have basic needs covered and therefore have no motivation to do something that they consider to be, you know, extra or an add-on or not, or, you know, beyond tending to what a child needs to survive. And so that's why I like to pull out the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, because we have to have these conversations with context. So Maslow's hierarchy of needs is basically a chart that has five different areas, and they form a hierarchy going up to a pyramid. And so the first ones, or the bottom of the hierarchy, is considered the red. And those are the physiological needs, you know, air, water, food, shelter, you know, sleep, all of it. It is basically at the bottom. Clothing, that is it. So it's at the bottom. And so persons that are usually in the red, they are focused on survival. And you're not going to get someone at the bottom of the Maslow's hierarchy needs to care about a parent-teacher conference. They're just not going to do it, right? Because they're looking at basic survival. They're not interested. You also look, so you go up on the ladder a bit, and then you have your safety needs. So these are the personal security. You've got employment, you've got resources, you've got health, you've got property. And so that's the second, and they call that the safety needs tier. You go up a step, then you have love and belonging. So that's up a third tier, right? And so that one is friendship, intimacy, family, that also has, you know, connection and the need to have connection with other humans. Now think about that. That is up third on the tier. That's not at the bottom. So if we have a sector of our society that's at the bottom of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, do you think they care about that third tier, which is friendship, intimacy, family, the need for connection? Not interested. Not interested. So we have to, instead of demonizing everything that we don't, that we see that we don't understand, we have to actually look at solutions now, right? And that's the only way this country is going to fix. Just today, more murders. Right? What tier do you think they're in? I don't think they're at the top. So let's move on. So we got love and belonging. That's the third tier up on the pyramid. Then you've got esteem. And esteem is up at the top, almost. So it's second to the first one. So esteem is respect, self-esteem, status, recognition, strength, and freedom. Most of the upper middle class, I would say, falls solidly into the love and belonging and esteem tiers. Right there, solidly right there. Because, you know, very concerned about, you know, status, very concerned about recognition, freedom, respect, all of it. Now, will everyone attain this? No. But it is something that is required for people to be at, to go to the very top, which is self-actualization. So self-actualization at the very top. And this one, again, all of the other pillars are building up to this, is a desire to become the most that one can be. So if self-actualization is at the very top and you're going into schools and you're speaking to children that are solidly in physiological needs, some of them will retain the message, but 99% won't. If they're solidly in that demographic, they just won't. And so what that would look like in practical terms is the speaker saying, you know, these children are so rude. They don't want to pay attention. Someone is here actually speaking to you, giving you, you know, the blueprint you need for success, and you're not interested. Of course not. Physiological needs are not being met. Now, what if temporarily the physiological needs were met? What would that look like? So I remember being a little girl in the Turks and Caicos, Providenciales at the time. I remember my parents and I visited this church. And we visited this church because my parents went to go and play music for the church. So it was an invitation to come to the church. It was in an area that was, you know, the demographic was is a bit poorer. And one thing that I will never forget, and bear in mind, this is in the 90s, right? So when I say this, please, commentary. But what happened was the persons that came to the church, they had these bins. And the people that they would invite to church would come. After the service, they would get to pick through the bins, and they had these very nicely packaged kits. And the kits would have, you know, clothes in it that they would have categorized into, you know, boys and girls, adults, whatever. There was another bin, and they had kits that were like books. They had another bin with toys, and everything was very clean and neatly wrapped, based on, you know, donations from persons in the community. And then the final bin had grocery and lots of groceries. So they had, you know, rice and beans. They had, you know, cereal. There were canned goods, etc. And so they got that community to participate in coming to church at a saturation rate. And I remember this specifically because the pastor, you know, told my parents, he's like, almost everyone comes to church. And I remember thinking as a child, like, well, of course they're coming. They're going to get gifts. But here is what they were actually doing. And I do remember his name is Pastor Charles. I don't know if he's still alive. If you are, for some random way you may be listening, you know, that always stuck with me. So Pastor Charles said, you know, we have to deal with their needs before I can preach to them. But they're not going to do that without getting their needs met. And so it's the same thing. If we are so smart, and when I say that, I mean the Facebook keyword warriors. I mean everyone that gives public commentary. If we are so smart, if you think you're an intellectual and you think that you're smart, we should be smart enough to understand that we have to be our keeper, and we have to position these conversations in a context that's going to meet the physiological needs. Now, does that mean we're going to turn socialist? Absolutely not. Socialism is broken. It does not work. You know, it has no place here, even though we are socialists parading at the show. I'm not going to go into that tangent as much as I want to, but we have to understand in context what is actually going to take to fix the country. Now, is it fair? No. Do the people that so-called or look like they have the means should be the ones responsible? No. But again, this is where we are. This is where we are. So if we go back to the list, keeping in mind Maslow's hierarchy of needs, we're going to keep that in context in the back of our head. Education. We're doing a good job. The donation of so many scholarships and opportunities are in the right direction. They're in the right direction. We're going in the right path with that. It's developing. I see so many private schools popping up that are educating children in different ways. We have to educate children for today's world. So sitting children down with books and making them memorize, today's world, they will be left behind. And it makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. So text, obviously, is going to create a situation where, you know, there is some discipline formed from that, but solely focusing on that is not going to cut it if we want to be competitive with the rest of the world. Now, if we choose to live in a silo and say, hey, we're going to live in a bubble, we're going to do what we want, and it doesn't matter, we're going to cry about, you know, we're going to be xenophobic if foreigners come in and take our jobs. If we want to be those people, then fine. So the next point is clean air. Now, I feel like we've made great strides with this, because I remember a time when the rate, and somebody please text me because I do remember hearing this on the news. I remember a point in time when the air was so bad in certain parts of New Providence that there were a lot of infants getting seriously ill from having respiratory illnesses. And I think that study was done by a company or a, a nonprofit outside of the Bahamas, right? So we've made great strides. The air is relatively cleaner now since the dump got reconfigured. So we can all agree on that. There's some positives here. So let's go to the next one. Do the citizens feel free from violence and harassment? Do they? Do they feel safe? Do they feel like the police can protect them? Are they getting their concerns listened to? Seriously, are they being told when they go to the police station, we're not going to write up no report because you and I'm going to make up in 2 weeks? Are they being told that? Right? What is happening in that area? So I just want to take a quick little sidestep. I see your text coming in. I'm going to read them, I promise. Thank you so much for sending them. 422-4796. 422-4796 is the text line. Please do not text me directly. I will not read it. Text the text line. Okay. So I just want to read this. This was posted today on Facebook. So it says, Assistant Commissioner of Police Janet McGregor, new skills and knowledge in the fight to end gender-based violence at the 68th Commission on the Status of Women. She represented the Royal Bahamas Police Force in a two-country tour, putting in hard work to understand how intelligence, crime fighting, and policy merged to produce real results for the protection of women and girls. Before attending CSW 68, she was in the Cayman Islands for the Caribbean Region 26 Gender Responsive Policing Conference. ACP McKenzie moderated a special session at the International Association of Women Police during the conference, which took place in Grand Cayman, March 6 through 8, 2024. The session was on the future of policing, impacts of climate change in the region with Dr. Beverly Shirley, Program Manager, UWI Open Campus Cayman Islands, and Jane Townsley, Senior Police Advisor, UN Women. The conference was attended by some 200 women from over 20 countries in the region and throughout the world. So congratulations to Assistant Commissioner of Police Janet McKenzie. That is quite the accomplishment in terms of participating on the level that she did, you know, in several capacities, including moderation of a panel. So I just want to congratulate her. That is a step in the right direction. Now, is that conference benefit going to be felt and reverberated throughout the police force? Is it going to happen in terms of policy, in terms of training of the members of the police force to handle inquiries in a certain way? Will it trickle up to the Attorney General's office in terms of mindset and how they look at what comes before them? Will it trickle down to the children that take cues? Will it? I don't know. I can't say. Step in the right direction. Congratulations to her. Definitely step in the right direction. But the question is, do the citizens of the Bahamas fear violence and harassment? Yes or no? I see your text coming in. I'm going to read them. So here's another one that it says, listening from Goodmans Bay. Thank you so much. Goodmans Bay is quite a way away. So thank you so much. I appreciate the support. So this one says, listening from Carmichael Road. Thank you so much for checking in. Let's read this next one. Hi, Dazzy. Listening from Coral Harbor. Why, thank you. I appreciate your support of the show. Let me get to another one. So it says, hi, Dazzy. This is Stephanie. I love Janet. She's a wonderful woman and mother of girl children. Me, Elmo, and your brother, Nathan, used to teach her sweet daughter cello music. Whatever she says to do, we need to do it. All right. Thank you, Stephanie, for texting in. That's amazing. You make me call my brother's name on air. That's so funny. He's going to be so mad at me. I love it. So I agree. Because sometimes it takes women to clean up particular issues that men just will not understand. They can empathize. They can sympathize. They've actually inhabited a woman's body. You know, certain things just may not land. Dave Chappelle made a joke about it. I cannot tell it. It is so crass. But if you follow Dave Chappelle, you're going to know the joke I'm talking about. And it's true. Right? What he said was true. So let me go ahead and read another check-in. So it says, Hi, Dazzy, listening all the way from Milan. Okay, we've not had that so far. So are you a Bahamian? Thank you for following. Thank you for supporting. Let me read another text. 1 second. So please go ahead and send them. I will read them. 422-4796. 422-4796. So this one says, hi, Dazzy. Loving the show so far. However, I don't think that we take certain things in this country seriously. I always think that our children are going to do better. But here I am, 3 generations up, and we are still not where we need to be. So when you say 3 generations up, Texter, are you saying you're a great-grandparent? If so, thank you so much for listening. And yeah, give me a little bit more details about that. I'm curious. In some areas, again, in the right direction. In some areas, no. So they're free from violence and harassment. I have a text that comes in, says, I give the Bahamas a F on, why you could give the Bahamas an F? I mean, I could see a D, but an F? Not even a C minus? Okay, so you give the Bahamas an F for violence and harassment. Now, I notice your number is not a 242 number. So where are you texting in from? Okay, Toronto. Okay. Well, I hope you are happy and safe where you are, for sure, sure. So let's get to the next point, environment. Environment. How do we feel about the environment? How do we feel about what happens there in that direction? I know we have a lot of, how do I say this? We do have a lot of chatter about the environment, but tangibly, how do we as citizens feel about the environment? How do we feel? I don't know. What grade would you give us? I don't know. That's one to think about. I want to take a quick commercial break. I do see your text pouring in. I'm definitely going to get to them. And when we get back on the other side, we're going to talk about a few more. We're going to talk about policies specific to countries' improvement. And we're going to talk about speaking freely without fear of arrest. Those are 2 very important points. You better pull out your constitution for this one. I want to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy. And on the other side, we will continue the conversation. Please stick and stay.
You can find it all at Builders Mall. From cement, lumber, block, plumbing, and electrical, to paint, lights, vanities, and tiles. Not to mention all the tools you could possibly need to get the job done. Say for starting a major project, adding the finishing touches, or just doing some repair or rental work around the house. FYP, the Paint Center, and Tile King can help. Stop by or call 601-8453. located 69 Wolf Road, Nassau. You can find it all at Builders Mall. Building, painting, the Bahamas.
Sebastian Alliance Group, SAG. Where we empower small businesses to succeed. Where we make the impossible possible. With our e-commerce is possible. No more brick and mortar, get digital. SAG is right here for you. U.S., Canada, Bahamas. You can build a website for your products. Accepting credit cards or digital payments. We make it easy to process, it's seamless. Sebastian Alliance Group, SAG. Where we empower small businesses to succeed.
Are you looking for an efficient, reliable, and affordable cargo service? Here's your answer. PCL Imports. They offer air cargo service with daily flights and ocean cargo service three times per week. PCL Imports provides pickup and delivery service from anywhere in Florida, even from your hotel. New clients, first pickup up to one pallet is free. PCL Imports also provides custom brokerage and clearance service. No membership, annual fees, or contracts. They can also provide you with a free U.S. address. Call PCL Imports, located number 42 Pipham Road, 394-1005, or visit PCLimports.com.
Back. You're listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy, and tonight we're talking about the development of a nation on the GDP. Beyond that, we're looking at other areas. How do you measure the well-being of your citizens? What are the indicators? And that's what we're talking about tonight. Thank you so much for your text, 422-4796. I appreciate them all. I will read them. 422-4796. So I got an interesting text, and the text just said, Dazzy, can you please read Penal Code 315 in the Bahamas? Okay, I will read it. So I Googled it. I pulled it up. Text, I need you to expound on this. And I'm assuming you're talking about freedom from violence and harassment or speaking freely, whatever. I mean, what is this related to? Please tell me, right? What is the context? So I'm going to read it. So the Penal Code, according to Google, when you pull it up, according to the Bahamas Penal Code, Article 315, whoever intentionally and unlawfully causes abortion or miscarriage shall be liable to imprisonment for 10 years. Abortions can only be performed in cases of rape or incest and on health grounds. So, Texter, please expound. Why is this important? Is this a part of what you consider to be one of the things that restrict us in the Bahamas? Please tell me. I would like to know. But I did read it as you requested, and we'll just let that hang there. So let's go back now to speaking freely without fear of arrest. Now, this is an interesting point, this one here, because often, do we really have freedom? There are so many times when I invite persons on shows with me, and they have the most amazing, the most well thought out, the most expressive thoughts in private, but refuse to come on air because of fear of losing resources, fear of getting contracts canceled, fear. But if you Google it and see what it says, if you look at freedomhouse.org, they have like a rating system. And so in terms of freedom in the world, based on 2022, the Bahamas ranks in 91 out of 100. So this reflective of the daily reality of Bahamians. Is that how we truly feel? For political rights, we scored a 38 out of 40. For civil liberties, we scored a 53 out of 60. And so the key developments they kind of have outlined, talking about, you know, the political rights, the electoral process, political pluralism and participation is another category, functioning of the government, okay? Civil liberties, we've got freedom of expression and belief. That's one of them. Associations and organizational rights. So is there freedom of assembly? Now, I know there is freedom of assembly. You actually have to apply for that. There is freedom of assembly, particularly from NGOs. Now, what will result from that? I don't know. I can't say, because every outcome is different based on whether it's a march. I personally don't think that demonstrations of that sort are as effective as people think. And I say this as someone that participated years ago. I think that it's very visual, but in terms of actually getting policies changed, you know what makes a difference in fights for different things? Lobbying and money. It is what it is. All else sometimes is just performative. And I hate to say that because I know people are very, very interested in, we need to go march, right? And things change through influence, money, and power. It is what it is. That is the world we live in, and no amount of marching is going to erase that. So it talks about rule of law. If our judiciary is independent, we got a 4 out of 4 out of that. So it says the judicial system is headed by the Court of Appeal and the Supreme Court. And then they talk about the right of appeal to the London-based Privy Council under certain circumstances. I know that's a sore point. We're not going to get into that tonight. Personal autonomy and individual rights. Do individuals, do Bahamians, do we enjoy freedom of movement, including the ability to change our place of residence, employment, or education? So this got actually a 3 out of 4. And let me read their description. I love seeing what external organizations feel about the Bahamas and what they observe, right? Because a lot of times they pick up on things that we often miss or we ignore or we get very angry about addressing. So it says, the freedom of movement is protected. Migrants and Haitian Bahamians' lack of Bahamian identity documents affect their ability to move free, choose their places of residence, employment, and education, and obtain medical attention. Roadblocks have been erected as part of immigration enforcement actions. That's what it say. I didn't say it. That is what they say. They gave us a 3 out of 4 score. So it goes down, it goes down. We also get a 3 out of 4. We got a 3 out of 4. Now, this one, I think we should have gotten a much lower score. I think they were being very kind. So it says, this one is, do individuals, Bahamians, enjoy personal social freedoms, including choice of marriage partner and size of family, protection from domestic violence, and control over our parents? So let me read what this description has. So it says, the government does not place explicit restrictions on social freedoms. However, the Constitution distinguishes between Bahamian men and women in the transmission of citizenship to a spouse or child, resulting in distinctions in treatment of married Bahamian women's children and their foreign-born husbands. In 2020, the Supreme Court issued a ruling affirming the granting of Bahamian citizenship to a Bahamian-born child, regardless of the gender and marital status of their Bahamian parent, which the Court of Appeal upheld in June 2021. So there's some more commentary here. I will not get into that one, but I will skip down at the bottom. And it says, violence against women, including domestic violence and marital rape, is a serious issue. I'm not going to get deeper into that. That's an entire show. But this is what persons from the outside are noticing about our society. This is their commentary. Okay? And sometimes when you're not in it, you have a different kind of clarity. So it says, do individuals enjoy, this is the last tier, do individuals enjoy equality of opportunity and freedom from economic exploitation? They also gave us a 3 out of 4 in that ranking. So it says, the Bahamas is a source, destination, and transit country for men, women, and children for forced labor and sexual exploitation. According to the U.S. State Department's Trafficking of Persons 2021, the government fully complies with minimum international standards to address the problem. Migrant workers, many of whom arrive in the Bahamas to work and in domestic services, are particularly vulnerable to exploitation. That's what it says. These are not my comments. This is how they look at us, right? And if you want to go ahead and read the entire article and the ranking straight up to 2024, it's freedomhouse.org. And then when you get to the main site, you just type in Bahamas and the rankings will come up. So let's get back to our list. Speaking freely without fear of arrest. Environment. And policies specific to the growth of the nation. Now, I know there was a policy that was just handed in. I won't expound more on that. But it would be great if we as a nation did not just put pen to paper, but we actually saw a lot of what is outlined and looks progressive on paper We'd like to see it in 3D. And that's in every sector. So the best way to fix what we have going on is by the individual citizens, believe it or not. I always say that the government comes from us. Angry at a government that comes from us. They are our brothers, cousins, aunts, uncles, fathers, mothers. They are us. So when we get angry, who are we getting angry at? Ourselves? Because they come from us. Their ideologies, their concepts, their, you know, attention. What is it? What, that is us. That is where it comes from. How do we feel about it? How do we change it? We have to change. That's the most obvious answer I can give. So another one that's here is health. And I wanted to touch on that very briefly because I see a lot of, and this has been very recent, you know, we have so many challenges in terms of how we look at the health system in the Bahamas. One positive thing, I do think that we're trending in the right direction. I think it is very slow, but I just want to kudos to all of the doctors that have assembled themselves and banded together to create private surgical suites, private offices, all of it. Because it has created so much more options for Bahamians. You know, there's NHI now. You have private insurance. Doctors Hospital has that program. What is it called? LAMP. You've got First Care. You have so many different avenues now, and they're growing day by day that add to the quality of care. Now, it's obviously not all going to be socialized. You do need money for that. And so that brings us back to the other point, economic freedoms. Do we feel that we have that? Someone just texted in. Let me read this text. Y'all better behave tonight. So this text says, we have no economic freedom. Okay. Well, texter, you know, yes and no. So economic freedom, I think you have to create. Sometimes you just cannot depend on this country to give you the economic freedom you need. You have to be able to import money from abroad. And don't say that that's not, it's hard to figure out. It's not hard to figure out. You have to. It's either that or what is the alternative? And so we had an amazing show with Sebastian Curry last week, and he talked about basically fixing a lot of those problems. Bahamians are able to create e-commerce stores, make money from, you know, digital assets, etc., that they can sell, and you can get the money to come right into the Bahamas, into your bank account. And so a lot of it is going to require us being creative and looking beyond, you know, the very, let me not say shallow, but we're going to have to look beyond what presents at the surface sometimes. So if you're spending time on social media as a consumer and not a creator, you know, sometimes that could be a place to start. If you're reading books, but you're not doing research on what needs to be done for our particular context, sometimes you have some research to do. Nobody's going to just hand it to you. And so if you're determined to live in the Bahamas and you want a certain standard of living, it requires creativity. If you're going to be honest and legal, right? I don't know about any of the other stuff. But it requires, that's what it requires. You know, being upset at governments for not, there's never going to be a government in this world unless, you know, we follow like the UAE, Qatar, you know, unless we follow a lot of their, you know, blueprints. And again, I don't think that is going to solve the problem. In fact, I think that that's going to make a lot of circumstances worse for a lot of cases because the same Maslow hierarchy of needs. And if you were to give everyone in the Bahamas the same amount of money, it'll go right back into the same hands. And why is that? Because it's mindset. So money cannot fix that, unfortunately. So talking about, you know, a sovereign wealth fund, yeah. That sounds great in theory. But again, until we educate our people straight across the board, we make sure that, you know, basic needs are tended to where they have the esteem for themselves to keep a certain standard of living, to keep a clean country, to be punctual. Unless we do these things and create these mindsets and make them the social norms, It doesn't matter. You throwing money at it is not going to fix it. Let me give an example. So I remember I was working somewhere, and one of the coworkers that I had gave another coworker a very expensive purse as a gift. It was Secret Santa, but she went above and beyond because her thing was, you know, she was tired of seeing this other lady with this busted purse. So when I saw the gesture, I was like, oh, that is very noble. But in my mind, I was like, you know, I don't think it's going to make a difference. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, within 6 months, new purse looked identical to the previous one that the lady had. The only difference was it had a very expensive logo on it. So what does that say? It's still mindset, because the care and concern would have had her other purse that was less valuable still looking in pretty good repair. But you cannot fix mindsets with money. You just cannot. I mean, money will help, but you just cannot. So looking for a miracle mindset, we have to eliminate that as a country. It's setting us back. It's setting us way back, because it's ability off of self. We get to point the finger and say, this one is the cause. And we don't look at self. And I don't know if you've ever encountered someone who, you know, they feel that their life is miserable because of every entire world other than them. Have you ever encountered someone like that? They are the most miserable, disgusting people you will ever encounter. Why? Because again, it is everyone else's fault. They refuse to take accountability. They refuse to communicate. They refuse to improve their mindset. They refuse. So as a nation, we cannot be like that. Oh, it's this one's fault. We have to take accountability. And so if we want to see different kinds of minds being reflected in leadership, in frontline politics, wherever, in clergy, we have to change. Because again, they are just a subsection of who we are. And so that's why the declaration is important as well. Because if you have someone that their basic needs are not being met, it's going to be very difficult for them to get into a certain position in government and look out for the benefit of the people, because technically they're still stuck in that red, whether we like to think it or not. And so we have to look at all spectrums. It's time for us to have these very adult conversations about the things that we need. And it just is what it is. And if we don't do it, we cannot be upset about what it brings to us. We just can't. Because we did not do the work to get a different result. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. So I have another, let me read this next text. So listening in from Queens, New York. Okay. that is, all right. I love it. Bahamians are everywhere. So yeah, please send in your check-ins. I love them so much. 242-422-4796. 242-422-4796. So let's talk about a little bit again about health and where we are. Okay, so we have a challenge with the health system. This is not a secret. I think that for a lot of Bahamians, when, you know, a certain person was prime minister, they had a lot of hopes because they were like, hey, he intimately knows the public health system. There are going to be some big changes. Now, granted, things happened, right? We had COVID, you know, is Dorian, it's just a lot. But again, I think that it was a universal expectation to have just a little more, you know, to see a little more attention being put on addressing that. Because I will tell you, if every single prime minister we have dedicated themselves to one major improvement in the country and they just focused on that only, do you know where we could be in 20 years? If their focus is, okay, we're going to open up the airwaves, we're going to do roads, another one is going to be fix the public health system, is address housing for Bahamians, where will we be? And we can't always lean always on the ministers, because they are limited in certain capacities, right? It requires a certain amount of, you know, finesse for them to sometimes get the results that they want. It's not cut and dry. But again, we still have to look at self-accountability. I want to take a quick and final commercial break. Before we get back to kind of, you know, wrap up the thoughts, I'm going to read the rest of your text that came in. And I want you to stick and stay because we're going to wrap up this conversation. Again, if you want to text, I will go ahead and read it, 422-4796. 422-4796. You're listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy. Please stick and stay. We'll be right back.
You can find it all at Builders Mall. From cement, lumber, block, plumbing, and electrical, to paint, lights, vanities, and tiles. Not to mention all the tools you could possibly need to get the job done. Say for starting a major project, adding the finishing touches, or just doing some repair or rental work around the house. FYP, the Paint Center, and Tile King can help. Stop by or call 601-8453. Located 69 Wolf Road, Nassau. You can find it all at Builders Mall. Building, painting, and tiling, the Bahamas.
Are you looking for an efficient, reliable, and affordable cargo service? Here's your answer. PCL Imports. They offer air cargo service with daily flights and ocean cargo service three times per week. PCL Imports provides pickup and delivery service from anywhere in Florida hotel. New clients, first pickup up to one pallet is free. PCL Imports also provides custom brokerage and clearance service. There's no membership, annual fees, or contracts. They can also provide you with a free U.S. address. Call PCL Imports, located number 42 Pipeframe Road, 394-1005, or visit PCLimports.com.
Sebastian Alliance Group, SAG, where we empower small businesses to succeed, where we make the impossible possible, with our e-commerce is possible, no more brick and mortar, get digital. SAG is right here for you. U.S., Canada, Bahamas. You can build a website for your products. Accepting credit cards or digital payments. We make it easy to process, it's seamless. Sebastian Alliance Group, SAG. Where we empower small businesses to succeed.
Are listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy, and tonight we are having conversations, just kind of talking about the state of the nation. This is a check-in. I love to do check-ins, you know, in intervals. I love to bring you interviews as well, but I feel like every couple weeks after an interview, we need to do a check-in. Let's talk about what's happening with the nation. Let's talk about, you know, how do we feel and how do we measure the well-being of our own citizens? How? Are we even conscious of this? And this is what I like to talk about. Next week, I have an amazing show coming up. I don't want to confirm just yet because I need to have a further conversation. But hopefully it's going to be very sports oriented from an Olympic medaler that is a Bahamian that is living abroad doing amazing things. And I will confirm that by dropping the flyer as soon as I get a confirmation. So you're definitely not going to want to miss that show. Please follow Beyond the Rock on Facebook. And that is where I will post all of the updates, all of the flyers, and you can see, you know, who's coming up next. So please go ahead and do that. So I just want to read some more text. So it says, hi, Dazzy, listening in from Easton Road. Thank you so much. Good night, Odaz. Tuned in from Clifton Pier. I notice you haven't talked about infrastructure on this list. I'm kind of going by the guidelines of the video. So that is another conversation. I've touched on it before, but no, tonight's show is not specifically tuned in based on that. Here's another text that says, hi, Dazzy, I really don't feel as if we are improving quickly enough because our best minds are leaving and your show glorifies them leaving. So you are actually adding to the problem, but you're parading as if you're a fix. Okay. I don't know, texter, you may be right. Who knows what is right and what is wrong about what is being done in any of this? But at the end of the day, you can feel free to start your own show, start your own podcast. You know, you can let your voice be heard as well. You can go live and you can pick up where you think that I'm falling down, because that is the beauty of freedom of speech and expression. You can go ahead, as long as you're not doing incitement, which you can go to jail for here. You have the freedom to do it. You can talk about something else. It doesn't have to be anything to do with what I talk about. You don't even have to listen to me, and that's quite fine. So if you feel as if that is the case, by all means, please go ahead. And let your voice be heard, and you can counteract that. You know, do a show called Within the Rock or something, right? But you talk about the opposite effect, why Bahamians should come home. By the way, I am trying to get someone to talk about this, and nobody is cooperating. I want to talk about if you left the Bahamas, if you were beyond the rock, if you were doing things and you came to the Bahamas, I want to interview you and ask you some questions about, you know, was it the right decision? Did you enjoy it? Et cetera, et cetera. So please, if you are in that position, please reach out to me. I'd love to interview you. So far, everyone that I've reached out to has done that. The answer has been a flat out no. And for various reasons, right? So if you're brave enough, if, you know, it's just me and you in studio, if you feel as if you can contribute to this conversation, then reach out to me. I'd love to talk about it. And you can let us know why or why not you decided to leave, and how that has been for you. Here's another text. So it says, hi, looking forward to next week. Yes, I will drop that flyer as soon as we are able. So let's get back to this list, because we only got a few minutes left and I want to go ahead and wrap up. So when we talk about fast growth, that was the other point that that video made. We need to constitute or look at what is considered to be fast. So do we look at the development of the nation year by year? Do we look at it quarter by quarter, to in 5-year blocks? Do we do a 100-year plan, a 50-year plan, and reverse engineer it from there? And how do we collapse time frames? So how do we make what should take 5 years to be done get done in 2 years, 3 years? How do we do that? And so it's going to require an all hands on deck kind of approach. There's no way to do it without every single Bahamian being on board. I know we talked about, and this was a show, I think this was on Morning Blend when I was co-hosting a couple of months ago, where we were talking about, you know, a national plan and national service. Is that the way to go? Should it be mandatory? Should it be punitive? My opinion was that it's not punitive. It's automatically done. You know, you graduate, you do that, you do it in whatever capacity that suits your skill set, and then you go. And so what are our feelings about this? What are our thoughts? Should we make it mandatory? What do we do? Because at the end of the day, how do we fix a nation if we're not participating? Another form of participation, taxation, believe it or not. I know we don't like to talk about it, but it is what it is. Taxation is participation. And so if we are evading real property tax, if we're complaining about NIB, I know that it's extra. But again, what are we going to do? Can you afford it, or how can you afford it? What is going to be our mindset and our perspective about these things? The choice is ours. The decision is ours. And at the end of the day, we have the ability to make decisions based on what we want to see in the long term. It's only us who are going to fix this country. There's no one external who cares. If anything, they would love to see it destabilized so they could swoop in and get some discounted real estate. Trust me when I tell you this. So our best interest is us. Interest in heart. And if we don't, then something's wrong. So thank you. I had a good time tonight. I'm not going to read this last text because... Christ is not within you. And this is not a show that is bashing any government, because again, they all come from us. And so that's not what we're going to do tonight. So I'm not going to actually read that one, because y'all like to send these texts and have the hosts read them. And people get confused when they just tune in and think that these are our opinions. And Rich is reading text. So no, you're not going to set me up tonight. If you want to call in next week with that opinion, go ahead. You go ahead and do that. You are listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy. I had a great time sitting with you this afternoon, talking about these various things. And we're going to have some more conversations next week. Again, hopefully I'm going to have an Olympic medalist in the house. But as soon as I confirm, I'll go ahead and drop the flyer. So again, stick and stay. I really enjoyed you participating. You're listening to Beyond the Rock. I'm your host, Dazzy. Have a good night. Be safe.